What are you, some kind of freak?
Hey, shut up!
Okay, come on.
I'll kick your ass.
No one talks to my son like that. It's okay, Sprite. You motherfucker! I got your hood!
Okay, chill out. It's okay. Come on, it's only a television show. Calm down.
Right? Okay, I'm all right.
Okay,
I'm
okay, easy. Everything okay?
Okay.
All right, get this jerk out of here.
I'll give you a piece of
good evening and welcome to the Jess. Less bravado this week. Bravado, is it the word I'm looking for?
It is the word you're looking for, Naggy. It's something that's in short supply in Newcastle at the moment. So I hope that we can offer some bravado to you in these bravado-less times, Jousters. Yeah.
My name is Naggy. I'm here, of course, with my co-host, Liam Bingham. I'm a good Canadian boy. Now, Liam, you're not wearing Knights paraphernalia?
No, I'm trying to bring bravado by incorporating a sport that a team I follow is successful in at the moment, which we'll discuss later. It's hockey playoffs time.
Yes.
Vancouver Canucks, after 8 or 9 years of being absolutely woeful, barring one decent year, they're back in the playoffs. I'm very excited. It's on my shirt. If you're watching in the visual medium,
it says...
That's Quinn Hughes.
Hughes.
He's a Canucks captain, 24 years old.
Oh.
Best defenseman in the league.
Young.
Already
captain.
The best defenseman the franchise has ever had.
Yes.
And he's my son. And I love him. I'm very proud of him. So while one of my teams is falling apart, capitulating and burning in hell,
yes,
one of my teams that I follow is doing well. And, you know, God wouldn't let me have... You
both.
Know, God wouldn't let
both.
Me follow two teams.
No,
we grew up Catholic.
They did.
We do. And, you know, a part of being Catholic is if you enjoy a thing, you have to have your heart broken by another thing.
Another thing,
you have to be dragged down into the gutter.
The guilt.
At the same time being dragged up to the heavens.
The heaven,
you can't. You have to balance out.
There's two. There's the heaven and then there's the other place.
As Catholic, you either are going to hell or you're balanced out. There's no going up.
That's true.
So, yeah.
Catholicism 101, basically. It was sorted right out there.
So, I'll be wearing this uniform until the Canucks get knocked out. And if they make the final round, I will wear the Canucks jersey I got when I was 10.
Yes.
That absolutely doesn't fit me anymore.
Now,
I'm very excited.
I know nothing about hockey, ice hockey, I'm assuming.
It's a great game.
The playoffs, is it a long thing? Is this like
it
a,
is
one
a long
of
thing.
19 games? Or
yeah, so each round is a 7-game series. So the Canucks had game one yesterday. They won in handsome fashion. It was very good. So it's 4 rounds. Each round, 7 games.
7 games.
And so you can either win in 4 or you can win in 7. So it's a commitment.
Okay.
It's a heavy commitment. A very time heavy.
Do they play every week or do they play every day?
Every couple of days.
Every couple of days.
Yeah, usually every 2 days, which is particularly challenging given the Canucks are playing against Nashville. So every fourth day, they'll have to travel, I think, 3,200 kilometres.
Nashville doesn't seem like a place with much ice.
No, it isn't.
No,
but that's the thing about, you know, modern air conditioning. You can have
true,
ice everywhere.
You
know, the first ice hockey in Australia was played in Melbourne in the 1890s when air conditioning technology was kind of
kicking
in its
off.
Infancy still.
Yeah. So where did they get it? Where did they get all the ice from?
The Arctic.
They might have got
no,
it
the
water.
Antarctic. Yeah,
The Antarctic. They were stupid taking from the Arctic. It's all the way up there.
Be foolish.
Gotta take it from the Antarctic, the land without bears.
Yeah, because Antarctos.
Exactly right, Liam.
For those Latin speakers in the crowd.
All of you out there still practicing Latin.
Who says it's a dead language?
Yeah. Liam, I unfortunately was too close to my home there on the Central Coast, far away from Newcastle, but really wish that I could have had some camaraderie behind me watching the unfortunate results of the game on the weekend. I really wish I might have been at a place where there's lots of nice supporters watching the Knights game in a sense of community, banded together, brothers in arms at the Wickham Park Hotel.
Oh, I wish I was there too. Unfortunately, I was at work and I had it kind of running in the background. I was keeping an eye on it and also didn't feel any camaraderie, didn't feel any joy. But at the Wickham Park Hotel, if I was there, I'm sure I would have.
Yes.
Even with a loss,
yes,
even a circumstance like the Knights went through, I think it still would have been a good sense of community, I think is the word you use,
yes,
which I like.
I did. It means there's a lot of people with similar interests being together, and that's what we're all striving for.
Or even the kind of community where there's people of very little similar interests.
Oh,
you know?
True.
It takes
people.
All kinds to make a world. That's just people.
It does. But when the world is asking, there's information they program must be presented in the form of the news, Liam. Not the best news to kick off with. It starts with pain. As often the news does, it's not always good time stories. Actually, if you watch the news, and sometimes it's not very much good stories, maybe towards the end there might be one good story, but we start off with a bad story with our very own Caelan Ponga.
That's how they keep the populace under wraps. Yes. They constantly tell us how bad things are.
Scared.
And they say, you're scared. You have to be scared every day.
Yeah.
Don't go out and enjoy your day. No. There was someone who got blown up in Sudan.
And I'm a bit scared because our own Sudanese sort of man, well, he's quite thin, and Caelan Ponga is missing 3 months.
3 months, Nagy?
3 months.
3 months.
Possibly 3 months.
That is one quarter of a full calendar year.
Half a season.
That's half a season.
In the middle of a season.
Oh, that's the worst part of the season to miss.
It's like the two-thirds-y bits. I don't know how to do
it. Now, this is an interesting injury that Kalen's got that you don't hear about often. It's a Lisfranc injury. We have done the hard work for you, Jess. We've gone and we've done the research. We've pulled out our Encarta encyclopedia. So we're going to explain to you just what a Lisfranc injury and how it was discovered by Mr. Lisfranc himself.
Because it's not Elizabeth Frank, which I thought, which is
good, because I don't advocate violence against women. If it was Lisfranc, I would have found her and beaten her up, because I don't know who she is, but I don't like her because of what she did to Caelan. But anyway, the Lisfranc injury was first diagnosed by Jacques Lisfranc de Saint-Martin.
Yeah.
And what a Lisfranc injury. Sorry, I lost track of that.
This is true. This is not fan fiction.
We're not making this up, Jazz. This is true. So Lisfranc joint, where the injury happens, of course, is the point at which the metatarsal bones, which are, of course, the long bones that lead up to the toes, and the tarsal bones, which are the bones in the arch, connect.
Lower
the
groin.
The ligament. It's the lower groin. It's the lowest groin.
Very, very lower groin.
It's the lowest groin. The ligament itself is a tough band of tissue that joins two of these bones. It's important for maintaining proper alignment and strength of the joint. Now, again, we're not medical professionals.
We know, we can't.
But proper alignment and strengthening of a joint, I think, is a good thing.
We possibly are learning things that we should have known before the GSV Cessnock City Council came out. And we're learning and we're making sure that we're not making the same mistakes again. Misdiagnosing.
We weren't stripped of our licenses. We voluntarily handed them back in protest.
But it was interesting. He came out with the Neapolitan Wars.
The Ice Cream Wars.
The Ice Cream Wars. Are you going to be fighting for the chocolate or the vanilla, and there's someone trying to get the strawberry, you let the strawberry go because you're trying to protect the
chocolate. Suited me because the strawberry was always my favourite, so I'd just eat the strawberry. It was great.
Yeah.
But we're going into a bit of a history lesson here, Jouse. As we all know that Nagy and I, we're students of history. We love the pastos, the people from the past.
We have lived in the past.
Yeah. We're in fact quite far into the past compared to some of you youths out there listening. But anyway, the Napoleonic Wars. Nagy, I don't know if you've heard of the Napoleonic Wars.
Once
1803 to 1915. Yes. They were brutal. France found itself running short of physicians.
Yes.
Now, Jacques Lisfranc de Saint-Martin.
He wasn't a classic physician of a war. He was
an OBGYN, which, what did you think before this show that meant?
Obgyn.
Obgyn. He was an Obgyn, which...
I thought maybe he had a lot of, like, you know, you hear some Australians, they'll be like, oh, this is the title, and they've been given a Order of Australia medal.
Yeah.
Like, and I thought that possibly had a lot of medals. But you're saying
that... He looks at vaginas all day long.
You were saying that he's a vagina doctor.
He is, and he was pulled in to help wounded soldiers on the battlefield out of necessity.
Not one day. That wasn't known for the time when there was lots of women on the battlefield, either.
No, there was none, in fact, which is why he wasn't on the front. He was back home treating the women, because there was no women at the front for him to peer into.
Yeah.
One day, a soldier was dismounting from his horse, much like a knight would.
But
his foot became stuck in the stirrups. Again, stirrups used famously by knights. And now this compromised the blood flow to his lower limb. Mm. Oh, I hate when I can't get blood flow to my lower limb.
Ew.
And created a gangrenous foot.
Yeah.
Lisfranc described the surgery as amputation of the foot through the tarso-metatarsal articulation. Now, Nagy, that worries me.
It does.
Now, we all follow NRL Physio on Twitter. I hope you do, Jouse. He's fantastic. He is a medical professional. He didn't mention anything about an amputation. Did you hear about an amputation?
No, I missed
that. Was that a James Hooper article?
Possibly, perhaps? He might be talking, you know, if the foot's no good, take it off.
Yeah.
I know there was, of course, Alex Crichton.
Angus Crichton, his brother,
I decided to take his finger off when there was a problem with the small joint
at the end of the noble thing you can do for rugby league. The most noble thing that you can do for rugby league is sever a limb or a digit or a joint.
Yes. Professional pussyfooter, as you might say, this particular physician was...
Well, not Angus Crichton, because he's missing one of his pussy footers.
Demonetized immediately. That's all right. We had a good run.
But anyway, there's Adam O'Brien learning about Mr. Liz Frank himself. Yeah. We were as surprised as he was.
As he put all of that information, it doesn't look good for us at the moment, does it? No.
I didn't know they played rugby league during the Napoleonic Wars.
Apparently not.
It would have been a really short war if they had. It would have just gone for 80 minutes.
Downtime.
Maybe an extra 10 minutes if they get through Golden Point.
Apparently everything was going quite well in Russia, and then they decided to hang out and... St. Petersburg, and they said, actually, let's kick off a few games. And then the winter came, because it's a winter sport.
It's a winter sport, of course.
And then they had to wait for the winter, and then they go, hang on a second, we can't get home. And then, 400,000 people froze to death.
Yeah.
So,
famous march from Moscow. From night's misery into further night's misery, but with a twinge of maybe a silver lining of a cloud. Shouldn't that saying be a golden lining? Like a silver lining, that's like, nice. Yeah, it's okay.
It's all right.
Something better could happen.
Yes.
If it was a gold lining, so this is the best thing that could happen.
Best thing.
Every cloud has a gold lining. Anyway, we asked Barry Toohey on Twitter. We didn't.
Well,
someone did. And I appreciate that someone, did our homework for us, asking about the return of Tyson Frizzell. They reckon he could play him through the middle with the decent form of KVP and Lucas. That's the tweet. That's not us saying that.
Yep.
Barry says maybe next week he'll lift the intensity wherever he plays. Now, I find that a confusing tweet.
Yes.
Because when he says next week, does he mean the next week as in the next one that's
next
happening,
available, I think,
or
so.
The next week after this one?
Well, no, I think he's
like,
quite
is next
literal.
Weekend the next weekend, or is it the weekend after next? That's always been a point of contention.
Yeah, look, I always get stuck in this one as well with people that I say this weekend, and then it's like referring to the closest one, and then people say it's next weekend.
Also the closest one.
I sometimes on the Sunday will start referring to the following, the next Saturday is this Saturday. People say that's next Saturday.
Well, see, then you also arise the conundrum, does the week start on Sunday or Monday?
Yeah,
depending which calendar you buy,
beginning
some
to
start
sound
Monday,
like my,
some start Sunday.
You're beginning to sound like my wife. And you might be playing the part of wife if you get this up. No, I go off what I think the calendar on the computer.
Are you going to be my OBGYN, baby?
Yeah, I'll be your Obgyn. have a peer. If you go on your iPhone or go on the calendar.
The Gregorian calendar, of course.
Sunday is
the civilized world.
And the seventh day he rested. Mm. I think that's something.
It's pretty lazy. You'd only been working for
six days. Yeah. Well, you need a rest.
Everyone needs a rest. Work-life balance, as Brent Reed thinks, is a terrible thing.
I say this. Everything beyond Sunday, you get over the hill of Sunday, and then it's like you're on the hill of Sunday. You're looking down at the next week, and then you climb back up. Saturday, you can't see over. So it's next week.
It's a Sisyphean nightmare. I just say the date. I've gotten to the point where it's like a video. I'll just say, what are you doing on Saturday the 8th?
Yeah.
But then I'm so terrible at remembering things. I'm like, what are you doing Saturday the 8th? And like, that's the next Saturday. I'm like, I don't know.
Could be any Saturday. I'm really bad with making plans that are about a month ahead, and I go, sure.
But Cassie probably does this to you, and your wife's probably does this to you. So what are you doing on Thursday 2 months from now? I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. Same with doctors. When you make a doctor's appointment, it's like, will you be free Tuesday afternoon in 6 months at 3:30?
Sure.
Let me check my calendar. Of course. Will I even be employed by then? Will I still be married by then?
Will I be here?
Will I have a home over my head?
Will I
have been extradited to some third world country? Oh, heaven only knows.
I might have a Liz Frank injury.
This is why we keep missing going to the Wicker Park Hotel.
We do miss out because so many things going on that we don't plan for. Our very own Jack Hetherington didn't exactly keep up.
Unplanned encounters.
Unplanned encounters. Jack Hetherington at the beginning of the show, obviously we see him there trying to bash good old Reed Marnie.
Unsuccessfully trying to bash him too.
Some people try to pronounce the Marnie's name Mahoney.
I don't like it.
It's
racist against the Irish. But I mean, was it Police Academy was Mahoney, wasn't it?
Was it really? I don't know.
I haven't
seen either of the 12 films. Jack Hetherington likes to get on a bit of a push and shove out of the field, a bit of a slap, and then he's decided to say, look, I know I'm one of the bigger guys, I'm fighting one of the smallest guys in the field, but I want to continue this on in the sheds, even though we've suffered a really embarrassing loss. But I want to show everyone that I can beat up the smallest tallest man in the field. It's like, that's pretty well established. We probably think you can, and you don't need to prove it. But he said no. He said, I'm going to go out there and do a bit of a...
There was a bit of a smile. There was a cheeky smile. Like, he was trying to lure him in, like, oh, I'm gonna rough you up. And then he tried to actually rough him up. You know, when you do that to a, you know, your nephew, I'm gonna rough you up. And then he actually tried to rough him up.
He tried to actually
do it. And he didn't succeed. But of course,
it'd be separated.
There is a historical precedent for this.
Yeah.
Remember, there was that great fight in the tunnel. There was an Australia-New Zealand test match.
Yeah.
It was Kevin Tarmody and...
I can't remember.
Maybe Les Boyd? Men of violence.
And the New Zealand guy really got the better
of
them.
But they actually threw punches.
They
it was great.
Punches.
But we've discussed on this show in the past, of course, we are very in favour of violent assaults on the rugby league field, within the confines of a rugby league field.
Yes.
Off the field,
we are
not fans of violent assault.
Yes.
This, however, has kind of blurred the line, Nagy. We, you know, does this fall under the purview of an on-field assault? Because it wasn't on the field.
No.
But is it an off-field assault because it was inside the stadium
still?
No,
it's off-field because it's sort of like whenever you try to play a junior rugby league game in Stockton, both players, parents, and everyone tries to take either the referee, other players' parents, whatever, out to the car park.
Yes.
Out of the car park, and we'll fight you out there. You're taking that off the field.
The dumbest rugby league threat I ever heard, I was playing for South Lions in under-17s. We went out to Toronto and we were playing the Toronto Scorps, my
classic
new hometown team. And there was a couple of fights popped out during the game. Remember, it was under-17s. We were all below drinking age. And one of the Scorps players just started yelling at us, I'm going to find you boys at Kingers. I'm coming at you. We'll see you.
King Street.
I'm coming for you. And well, why would we go to King Street?
Don't know.
We shan't be allowed in.
All young.
We don't have any money.
No.
You're not going there because you have to take the 270 home.
Yeah.
So you're not going to King Street.
You have to get your parents.
It was so stupid. And then the guys at South were just like, well, we're here now.
Yes.
Within punching distance.
Could do it.
We could do it now. No, I'll find your fucking Kingers, bud.
Yeah.
No.
Logistically, it's a terrible option.
Yeah, we should have won the comp. Turns out our players just love drinking and fighting.
Adam O'Brien had an interesting perspective in the post-match regarding the tussle. I think of basically saying, I don't know anything about it, which is, which I like the 3Ds, deny that it ever occurred. I don't know anything about it. I might learn about it later, but I'm not going to ask any questions. Well done, AOB. Very good working around all the cameras on you.
Notably, he's been very quiet ever since.
Yes.
He hasn't come out and slapped Hetherington on the wrist.
No,
maybe
all the Herald did
punch
that.
Him.
Not the first time for our very own Red Mist.
In fact, it's the ninth time.
Ninth time. Starting way back in 2018, where he was binned playing for Penrith, and then he was binned again playing for the Warriors.
Binned playing for Canterbury.
He's been sent off playing for Canterbury.
He has been sin binned at every single club he's played for. Now that is dedication to rugby league violence. And if we look at now, someone broke it down on the internet. Jazz, I thought I'd bring it up here. We're, again, mathematicians at heart.
Yes.
We love numbers. We love everything about them. Addition, subtraction.
All of it.
And we looked into the internet and we discovered that in 9 sin bins in 75 games, that means that he gets sin binned once for every 9.375 games he plays, which that has to be a record.
It's
that's
up there.
That's an amazing record to hold.
Look out, Victor Radley. He's coming after you.
I think he's well ahead.
With only half the talent.
Yeah.
Look, for a guy that's very aggressive, when he plays, I know, you think aggressive guys are just wildly. And they're push me and I'll hit you. But when he plays, he's really tight.
He plays within himself.
And then when there's a push and shove, he comes out. But he can't win anything when there's a push and shove because everyone's watching this 13 cameras. So I don't know. He just seems...
Well, it could be one of those things like when you're a professional boxer or, you fight MMA or you're a black belt, your fists, your feet, your knees, your head, they're considered lethal weapons.
Deadly weapons.
Yeah, and for a man who grew up in Belmont, apparently can throw mugs with the best of them. Like maybe if he punches Reed Marnie in the head and he kills him, that's assault with a deadly weapon.
That's true.
But a weapon made up of 5 metatarsals.
You have to open the hand.
Hand.
He'll probably slap me if he hears this, and then I'll be dead, and then, the charges will stick.
But we had a good time.
But we did have a good time. But it's not the only thing happening. It was outside the Newcastle Knights. Very surprising things. James Fisher-Harris.
This one popped up out of nowhere. Usually with such enormous signings, there's scuttlebutt around.
Enormous biceps.
There's usually the Hoopers saying that he's going to sign for 25 years for, Mounties and all this nonsense. But no, the Warriors have made the biggest signing of the last decade.
Yeah.
They've signed another alphabet soup brother with James Fisher-Harris to go to the Warriors for 4 seasons beginning next year. Now, With the AFB loss, obviously they were looking to replace him with someone with a similar amount of names. He had to have the same amount of names. But not only that, they had to be top three prop in rugby league. And they've essentially done that.
Now, a short list.
Now, there is not many more Kiwi people than James Fisher-Harris. It's a logical choice. Yeah. He's very, very Kiwi. If you have a look at him, like, you could see him carrying a crate of long necks of lion red through the pub, punching people into the jukebox, like in the great film They Once Were the Warriors.
Maybe some scaffolding over his shoulder.
They love building scaffolding.
They love
Kiwis.
It up there.
They absolutely love it.
The Gold Coast, they really got a real handle over the whole industry.
Oh, everywhere.
It's all
Maoris and the Irish.
Lots of
Irish in the scaffolding industry in Mayfield. But that's, you know, I think it's safe to say that might be one of the biggest signings in Warriors history.
Yeah, I think possibly. Yeah. Maybe, and like, well, they've got, obviously, the guy that came back from rugby.
RTS? JFH? AFB? CNK? CHT? TMM?
Just a series of letters.
String any three letters together, and you have a Warriors player.
The first Roger Tuivasa-Sheck signing, I think, was pretty good because they got it from the Roosters, and the Roosters were like, no, he's going to be Anthony Minicello's replacement. And then the Warriors were like,
but he couldn't cook the spaghetti. They booted him.
The marinara sauce was terrible.
And then, well, the Tohu Harris, another great example of a good Kiwi boy coming home.
Yes.
But the other thing you got to consider at the moment, 27 years old, top three prop in the game.
He is.
This is when props hit their peak. Mm. So he'll be over there till about 32, maybe 33 years old. Again, not a mathematician.
Coming out of four grand finals. Yeah. You know, it seems like they've lost the first fella you mentioned, AFB. And they're like, oh, we're going to upgrade. We're going to get one better.
And this one without any domestic violence charges, which is a good thing.
Yeah, good, definitely a good thing. Yeah. Does Adam Fennell play have domestic violence charges?
Yeah, maybe two.
Right.
I think so. But anyway. we move from one football player finding a new employer to another, Joseph Manu. Now, this is a weird weird story. Joey Manu's confirmed that he's going to leave the NRL to be employed by Toyota.
Yes.
He's going to go work for Toyota. I think building Corollas.
Selling cars.
Oh, you reckon he'll be in the sales? Well, possibly. With a face like that, you got to be in the sales side.
Gorgeous man.
Yeah, he is.
But so he's maybe making, maybe selling. We don't know, but he's over there in Japan.
Well, he'll be over there in Japan as a Toyota employee, but will be playing rugby union for the Toyota for Blitz, which is the Toyota, the rugby union team, which is owned by Toyota.
Yes.
Confusingly, which plays in the Japan Rugby League One, which is the Japan's top rugby union competition, which maybe that's where
it's a league of rugby union.
It's a league of rugby union, which maybe that's where the confusion arose. Yeah. He thought he was going over there to work for Toyota. They said no. So he thought he was going over there to play rugby league, and they said no. And he said, what am I going over here for? And apparently he's going over to play rugby union for Toyota.
Yeah.
But what we need to look at, I think, in this is the amazing club names in the Japan Rugby League One. If we just scroll across here, now they've changed a bit in the last few years. They used to all be owned by corporations. So you've got the Toyota for Blitz, Tokyo Sun Goliath, which used to be owned by alcohol giant Suntory. You've got the Saitama Wild Knights, which used to be the Panasonic Wild Knights, owned by that very same company. You've got the Tokyo Brave Lupus. They used to be Toshiba Brave Lupus. You know who make the printers?
What's the middle one there?
Sagamihara Dynaboards.
Thank you for that.
What's a Dynaboard?
I don't know. It
sounds like a robotic, like, wild boar.
It does. It sounds a little bit like Beast Wars. You ever watch that show?
No. But that's what I think it would be.
Yeah, dinosaurs and Transformers. And
oh, my God. Yeah, it's a dinosaur wild boar.
Yeah.
See, let's all move to Japan and just play footy for the Spears Funabashi. That's sick.
Well, I was going to say the two out of the Blitz, but that's exactly the team that we spoke about.
And then
earlier.
You've just got the Yokohama Eagles.
If anything, it's quite a low key name that he's going to. Yeah,
He's going to get paid enormous money, $1 million plus a year. And of course, you know, with Uncle Nick being Uncle Nick, he's going to come back the second Teddy retires. I'll say, come on back.
You've been gone too long.
They replaced one Italian fullback with another Italian fullback because the one before him was too Kiwi. So now they're going to bring back another Kiwi to replace another Italian fullback. How that works out.
I think it was Jordan Rapana that went over to Japanese rugby and then came back.
Yeah, they didn't let him.
Almost better. Oh, no, he went. Didn't he go over there and play for a year? He left for a year and came back, and he's about 38 years old. He's playing like a much younger man. He's got an injury at the moment, but it might be hip replacement or something like that.
Well,
but
at least they're very open about the professionalism now. I remember there was a story about the All Black great John Kerwin, I believe. He went over to play in Japan, and at the time, rugby union was still amateur, quote unquote. So he had to work for the company that owned the club.
Cars.
And he had to work for the cars. Yeah, yeah. And all he had to do was turn up at the office. He had a briefcase full of paper, much like Kramer has. Not paper that is of any legal bearing, just paper.
Just paper.
And he'd get paid in paper bags at the end of the week.
Oh, wonderful.
They're like, he got really bored over there because he had to sit in the office but do nothing. Like George when he's working for Play Now.
Speaking about doing nothing.
Trying to work out what the Penske file is.
That's two different episodes you're talking about. We'll be right back for the second half of the Jest, covering everything Newcastle Knights. Looking forward, looking backwards, all that failure. We'll be right back.
Alrighty then.
Welcome back to the second half of the Jest. I'm looking at both cameras. There,
it's always confused me, Nagy, when you say welcome back to the second half, because we weren't in the second half initially. Yeah, we were in the first half. We've never addressed this, have we?
No.
In the 7 years we've been doing this podcast, we've never addressed welcome back to the second half.
Welcome back to the second half of the Jest. Well, we are in the second half, Liam. And welcome back to everyone that is joining us and sat through the moment of silence. It's an unfortunate time that we have to talk about the review, Liam. I know this is something that you don't like. We lost to the Bulldogs 12-36. So I did that the odd way around.
Yeah.
But they scored far more points than us. 6-2. Getting off to an early lead and us clawing back to a 12-6, only for them to really just put the foot down, scoring before halftime. And then
now,
again,
I think it's important, Nagy, to start with the positives. The positives, the Knights are still kicking goals at 100%.
100%, yeah, we're still
That's all for the positives, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us.
That's all we could muster for the positives.
So hats off to Mark Tukey.
Mark Tukes still doing a great job. Look, it was we're looking at the biggest thing that happened in this game was, of course, we lost our great Caelan Ponga for a huge chunk.
By that damn Belgian.
Yeah, the damn Belgian Elizabeth Frank. But he was coming into the game a bit injured as well, but he wasn't playing well. Like, you can tell he was a bit laboured coming into this. And I think I shared the thoughts of a lot of people, and I said, why is he out there if he's not well? Take the boy off.
I think a lot of people thought, and again, these people are not medical professionals who think this, and nor are we, but they kind of tied it into his injury from the week before. But the injury the week before was a cork to the hip pointer.
And he got the magic needle.
And a cork, generally, you can work out. It's not an overly debilitating thing over a long period.
And he said before the game, he's like, I might play to halftime. And I really think the Knights...
He said that?
Yeah. Oh. I really think the Knights thought they were going to out-muscle them through the middle.
Well, we thought that.
Yeah, because...
We accused their props of being made-up people.
Sleeve McDougall. Yeah, it was all those people. And it was like going to be very easy. We're just going to make meters at the middle, and then Caelan was going to do his thing. And we're going to score enough points and possibly us go in 18-6, and then Caelan come off... We'll put Tyson Gamble.
But I think the Bulldogs forward pack maybe listened to the show, because the first try, of course, was that made-up prop who had four Knights players, Nagy, on him. Count them, 1, 2, 3, 4. And yet he still managed to get the ball down. Now, I watched that, and then I had to go to work after that. How do you think my shift was?
Wasn't great.
No, it wasn't great.
Speaking of wasn't great, their completion rate, 66%, 26 completions
very low.
39. Yeah, and then our completion rate was slightly better.
But still quite low.
Yeah, we had less time with the ball. Look, our running meters were just shit.
We were outrun. We were out post-contacted. We were out line-braked. We were out average set distance.
We made more tackle breaks, but the average set distance, 29.42.
Very short.
Short.
That's 5 meters per tackle.
100 meter field.
Yeah,
not enough.
No, less than a third. In fact,
3 line breaks. It was never a time when we thought, "Hang on a second, we can get this back." We look like out enthused. We look like we weren't playing as a team. We look like we'll all the mistakes that we saved up from last week, we lay-by'd for this week, and then we had to pay out. We said, we only had 5 last week, but actually we got 12 this
week.
Did
we perhaps lay-by those errors because of our own hubris?
Possibly.
We thought the Dogs will be much easier. We can make all the errors against the Dogs and still be fine.
And then,
we were hoisted by our own petard, perhaps.
We were, and our forward pack did not, none of them made over 100 metres.
No.
Which
is kind of the benchmark.
It felt like that's got to be the benchmark, but
I know it's such an arbitrary number.
They moved up Daniel Saifidi to the start.
Mm-hmm.
They also lost Matt Croker, and they brought in Brody Jones. The draft head chose Brody Jones. And I really thought, they're focusing more on these sort of runners. They want these up the middle, and we just got beaten all ends up. And then we seem to go out there without a particular game plan of anything that we would attack, but they seem to really favour, as we knew they would, their side with Willem Kickow,
Bronson Jerry,
yeah. And like they made them all look very, very good. And we thought, hang on a second, I thought we were quite good. No, we're not.
And this is something that obviously is not a concern when Kalyn Pong is playing healthy. Maybe the game plan of give it to Kalyn isn't as good when he's not healthy.
Now, when there's a problem, there is also an opportunity.
Mm.
And, you know, I've been wanting to see David Armstrong.
Ever since his two-try turn in the Central Coast trial match against Cronulla, scored two tries on the right wing.
On the right wing. Look, I've always thought that he's looked quite good at the back. Mm. And we got a photo of him there. And rather than looking like a monk on leave like Jackson Hastings,
he's a monk on duty.
Monk on duty.
Like, it's a very respectable Christian haircut.
It's a good, honest haircut, isn't it? Just get the bowl out.
You could set your crucifix to that haircut.
But he is known for scoring tries, finding the line there in reserve grade. You know, he seems like a guy itching for an opportunity. Three tries from five games in his first year. 15 from 18.
And a good country boy. You love to see it. Maury.
Yeah, Maury.
Good Maury boy.
He also played a bit of football up in Queensland as well. So he seems like, look, he's 23. He's not that really much younger than Kalyn.
He was born in, I saw, 2001, the year of the premiership. Is that an omen, perhaps?
Hopefully. I think there's certainly an element that we've relied on giving the ball to Kalyn, give the ball to Kalyn, let Kalyn do his magic. And now I think...
Which is fun.
Because you don't know what's going to happen. But I think now they really have to rely back to... We don't have that spark.
No.
We don't have that. We do have some speed at the back now, David Armstrong, but like, let's see how they go.
Will he translate being a strong finisher into being a strong ball player / distributor?
Yeah.
And who's going to kick the ball more than 5 metres now that Kalyn's away?
I don't know. We've only got the 2 5-metres.
We'll cover that in the preview of the next round, though.
When we're looking at, like, I really had to think hard about this, of a hats off, and who the hats off for this week was.
We had to be bullied into picking someone. It was that hard.
Phoenix Crossfield Bomblin. Hats off. The effort was there. He is good in attack. He's versatile, and he ended up, you know, finishing the game at 5/8, and also the thumb.
The thumb for my hats off again. Yeah. You know, I feel like we're still not getting the best out of the thumb because his best is so good.
Brandon Best is so good,
and he's been very good. Don't get me wrong,
yeah.
But I think, you know, he could be truly remarkable if we can unlock him effectively.
The final try there with Kai Pierce-Paul just reaching his go-go gadget arm around and passing it to Bradman.
We love Kai Pierce-Paul.
We do.
He's starting to bust out the tricks. See, with that offload,
we've
talked about how he's building his game on the fundamentals.
Yes.
He's building the Tim Duncan game, the big fundamental.
Yeah.
And now he's starting to pull the trick shots out.
The magician
trick shots. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I think... we're starting to see that, and we could see a real breakout from KPP.
We're going to have to see something from KPP, Bradman Best, and the likes of these leaders of the club, or like these sort of the most exciting people at the club, because also when we take our hats off, we must return our hats back to our heads. The players we don't think play very well. The forward pack, as I mentioned before, not 100 metres, I was going to say between them. Between them, they didn't manage 100.
They cleared that quite,
but independently, quite easily. Independently, they didn't. Hats back on to the entire Knights forward pack after talking a big game.
And I'm going conceptual game. Hats on as well. I'm going with... Mr. Liz Frank,
Elizabeth?
Who we discussed earlier, old
Ms.
Napoleon's very own OBGYN, Liz Frank. Hats back on to you, buddy.
Yep.
Go back to Brussels and eat some friggin' chips and mayo.
Yeah, they did like that. But it does taste nice. We call it aioli over here.
No, basically. We don't.
What?
Aioli is garlic. Mayo is very different. That's why when you say garlic aioli, you don't need to say garlic. It's aioli is garlic.
Yes.
And it's, I hate when you see someone say, I'll have a lime margarita. A margarita is made with lime juice.
Uh-huh.
A lime margarita is like saying, I'll have a ham, cheese, and bread sandwich.
I thought a margarita is made with lemon juice.
You've worked in bars for a dozen years and you think a margarita is made with lemon juice?
Jello.
So
we got Elizabeth Frank there with his hats back on.
Hats back on to you, Liz.
The whole fullback there. Look, it's really going to rely, I think, you know, moving forwards. Forwards
not
or backwards.
Twirling
on the game that we have.
Yes.
Against the Dolphins. Because, you know, now there is... I think it'd be almost worse if Kalyn was out for 4 weeks.
Because
then it would sort of be like, well, we have to wait.
Yeah.
We have to wait for him to come back. We've got someone you're keeping the chair.
We're in transit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now we have to say, he's not coming back for a very long time. And this period is going to be the difference whether we come, you know, dead last and look like the worst team in the NRL, or we actually got to band together and find different ways to score points and win games.
Well, I've been thinking about this, Nagy, and, I, you know, we're not big on on conspiracy theories here at the Joust.
Well, we might be.
Like our ideas grounded in reality.
Some.
And logic.
Would say.
But I have a theory. Yeah. Now, last year, the win streak, the Knights looked at their best after Caelan Ponga had an extended layoff due to injury. Do you think Adam O'Brien called up Cameron Serraldo and said, "Oi, Cam, we need a bit of a boost.
Yeah.
Can you get your boys to fuck up Caelan real bad?"
Yeah. Potentially.
I'm just saying, Jack.
Potentially. I'm throwing it out there.
I don't eavesdrop. That may have been a conversation that was had between Adam O'Brien and maybe Cameron Serraldo. I don't know. It might have gone straight at the top. He might have called Gus.
The Newcastle Knights are also a very fair side. We're nothing but fair.
Yeah.
You know, we're good, honest, good, hard-working
class.
Working class town.
And blue bloods.
And we saw...
Blue collar.
We saw that the hammer is going to be ours.
Yeah.
For our game, we said, well, that's not fair. We've got our great fullback.
Do you think it's
fullback.
An issue of fairness?
Well, we said we got our great fullback playing. You don't have your great fullback playing. Let's just say neither of our good
fullbacks
are
playing. They're all about equality.
Yeah.
All about equality in this fantastic town where everyone gets a go.
Everyone gets a go. It's a good.
You got to have a go to get a go.
That's what the Liberal Party says. and so we're coming up against the Dolphins this week, yeah. At 2 o'clock again. Sunday, 2 o'clock. They seem to love it.
We seem to get day games a lot. Remember, last year we were good at them, but this year we're bad at them.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. Looking at the team list there for the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. Troy Fuller. You say that he's a
Trey Fuller. Yeah, he's fantastic. He's one of those guys. He's kind of been a lifetime reserve grader up in the Queensland Cup.
Yep.
I think he's currently the longest serving Redcliffe Dolphin players in the lineup because he's been playing for the Dolphins in Q Cup for years. But he'd be about 27. It's such a great story. A lifelong reserve grader finally getting sent up to the big show, you know?
Yeah.
He's got his shot. He played really well against Parramatta. I think it's great to see because that's what reserve grade rugby league is for. It's what reserve grade rugby league is about. It's about toiling. It's about working hard.
Yes.
It's about going to the coalface every day for 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And then the hammer gets injured and you get you go. You know, and you have a wonderful game against Parramatta Eels.
Similar as the Moree man, David Armstrong.
Exactly. It's very, very similar to the Moree man, David Armstrong.
Yeah.
But a rugby league reserve grade success story
is
one of the greatest things you would ever hear on this earth.
I think so.
I just hope he has a shocker against the Knights. But if we continue looking at the team, there's threats right through, as we saw what they did to the Eels. I think one of the men that concerns me, and we'll discuss this in the reasons why we may lose, Jake.
I just realized that the Frizz isn't even named. Okay.
Oh.
Right. So he's definitely not playing. It only just came out, guys.
Bugger.
Fresh.
Apologies, Jousters. Yeah. We didn't look at the team list as we
That's all right. But the lock for the Dolphins is Max Plath.
That's a great rugby league name, Max Plath.
And you thought they would have really like topped out with Ray Stone.
Ray Stone.
They said no. Max Plath has entered the game.
A good rugby league name should only have two syllables.
Yep.
Ray Stone.
Max Plath. That's all you need.
Royce Hunt.
Move over, Warriors, with all of your syllables.
I want less syllables.
Less syllables.
Make them smaller and make them tougher. So Max Plath, he's a two-syllable man that worries me. But Tessie New.
Trying to be a two-syllable man, but he's got too many syllables
Tessie
in there.
Tessie New, that's three syllables.
It's a short name, but he's got too many syllables.
It's deceptively short. I looked at it and I thought, God, there can't be more than two syllables.
Josh Kerr.
That's a two-syllable name. Thank you there, Mr. Button.
No mucking around with the letters there.
Now, of course, we've got another ex-Knight playing in the team against us in Oren Keeley.
Oh,
not
yes.
a good rugby league name, just a made-up name.
Made-up
no
name.
No one's named Oren. He's the only one.
It's a little bit 2005 Ricky Ponting's cricket, isn't it, when you can't get all the actual names of the players.
Yeah.
So you get he's
the unlicensed player.
The unlicensed one.
They couldn't get the rights to his real name.
Unless you play the Champions Trophy. Look, we're not sitting well on the table. We're way down the bottom. We possibly are in the doldrums. It's a long way to climb. The Dolphins are really high up there, so maybe they're going to come in to think, I'm going to win this one easy.
Now, there's a bit of symmetry there. They're three off the top. We're three off the bottom. Symmetry is important in life.
Yeah,
when you have up, you must have down. When you have black, you must have white.
Catholicism.
When you had third, you must have third last.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. They're thinking they're going to get to the other place, and we think we're going to get to hell, so we have to meet in the middle. So hopefully we're going to get up. There's a new player there, also Jed Cartwright, someone that I was looking forward to
Cartwright.
Looking forward to seeing because
that's a good rugby league face. For those watching in the visual medium, look into that face. That's the face of a man who's been playing against men in reserve. reserve grade.
Son of John.
Son of John.
He's played there for the Rabbits as well as Penrith. He's come from a good school of forwards.
Mm. And good pedigree.
Good pedigree, and he's coming in for the Red Mist because the Red Mist can't control himself.
I wonder what colour Mist Jed Cartwright will put out.
I think...
Purple Mist.
Purple Mist, possibly.
Purple Rain, Jed Cartwright.
It also, we saw from the squad there that our very own AOB has stuck to his guns. Our guns that aren't firing all the time, but...
But you stick with them anyway.
Stick with them anyway.
It's your gun.
It's a lot of pressure now on these guys. Jackson Hastings, who I do think has to take a lot of ownership over this side. I know he's a talker. He's a guy with a big attitude. I really hope that he can lead the forwards around. And we got the number Trez over there in Tyson Gamble playing for in his up there in his native Queensland, playing at number six. And also with the long boot, he's got he's got the big boy boot on, size 12.
He's the only one, apparently, who's got the big long boy boot.
Only one. Maybe David Armstrong can kick it there. We're coming up against our old coach, Liam, in Big Wayne. Got the big head.
Big Wayne head, little Wayne head. We'll see who turns up. Maybe he'll have a stroke on the way like he did last weekend. He wasn't in the box, of course. He wasn't coaching.
Oh, he was sick, wasn't he?
He was ill.
But he was he fell asleep at one stage in some game recently. He was always getting very old.
He'll die in the coaching box, and I think that's noble.
I think that's the way I want to
go. Very noble. That's the way I'd like to go. I've already made arrangements for my ashes to be spread on Marathon Stadium.
That'd be nice.
Half on Marathon Stadium, half on Number 2 Sports Ground.
Yep.
That's where I'll be interred.
Yeah.
A
lot of ashes. Yeah.
But where do we win the game now? How do we win the game?
Yes.
Don't do what the Parramatta Eels did. Because what the Parramatta Eels did, if you notice this, the more astute jousters will notice, they allowed 8 tries in 30 minutes.
That's not good.
That's bad. So to win, don't do what the Eels did.
Look, that's a good way forward, I think. But there's also a player playing halfback for the Dolphins.
Isaiah Katoa. He's a young, very, very mature young man in terms of rugby league nous and rugby league ability.
Yep.
He slows the game down around. He's one of those players where, and this is the oldest cliche in rugby league, he looks like he has time. He looks slow to play fast. He's very astute.
Yes.
He does things that, again, like a much more mature ball player would do. He's very, very good. He worries me, concerns me. Jake Avarillo, the other danger man who I've picked out.
Yes.
He was obviously playing in a very, very poor Bulldogs team.
Yeah, could always find the line.
He could always find the line.
Yeah.
And he had a blinder last week. He's very pacey.
Yeah.
He's very tackle busty, very elusive.
Do we have those kind of players in our team?
Oh, God, I hope so. Bradman Best, Bradman I think, would be the best comparison.
Is he up against Best on that side?
It'd be pretty good if there was.
Yeah, I think it'd be
if
good.
If he was.
A good centre battle. Don't give Avarillo space. There is... Look, to be honest with you, the Dolphins have just keeps unearthing these quite talented people. Mm. Not like superstars, but quite talented people. And the Knights, you know, last year... unearth some talented people.
Yeah.
So it's just asking the talented people, please play talented and stop playing like a bag of garbage. And if they do that, the Bradman Best and the Jacob Saifidis and say, oh, you know, you both wore blue jerseys last year.
Daniel Saifidi also wore a blue jersey in the past.
Step up. You know, Jaden Brayley has always been talked about in this high-class hooking role. Yeah, sure, we lack a bit of oomph on the wing, but we have like a true sort of ball runner rather than a playmaker in David Armstrong.
Mm.
This might change the game around and put a little bit more emphasis on our 7 and 6 and say, look, it's up to you guys now.
You're getting paid the big bucks.
The big bucks.
Live up to your big bucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the big bucks. Sorry, I just got big bucks in my head.
Put the big bucks away and play a bit of football and focus just on the football and less on the bucks.
Yeah.
But I hope that, look, that they are going to be able to do that for all of us because, if anything, we need a bit of a surprising win just to reinvigorate us all, give ourselves a bit of a shock.
But again, I don't think it'll happen because, like I said, God won't allow me to follow two successful teams, so it's going to be rough for you Knights fans.
So, but unless that team loses,
if the Canucks lose,
then the Knights will win.
We'll win the grand final.
Ah,
very excited either way.
All the Canadian jousters out there need to go in there and maybe kneecap that man Hughes. So he plays badly.
If you kneecap my son, Canadian jousters,
Canadian
I will fuck you up.
Yeah,
don't touch my son.
Don't touch the boy. If you're going to watch the game anywhere, Liam, there's only one place to watch it in the Newcastle area. You can't go all the way up there to Redcliffe.
It's so far.
Too far.
It's so far. You have to take a plane or you have to drive for a week.
Bus.
The game's in 4 days. You've got to drive for a week. You'll be too late.
Not enough time.
Not enough time.
You got to watch it where all the Newcastle Knights fans watch good, honest rugby league in their community, win, lose or draw, arm in arm, and all the rest holding hands.
Bits intertwined.
It is really good out there on a Sunday afternoon because the afternoons are getting shorter, you see.
Yeah.
The afternoons are getting much, much shorter.
That's so it. It's lunchtime and then bam, it's midnight.
It's midnight.
I hate that time of year.
It's less enjoyed. So if you want to be out there in the sun, 2 o'clock game, perfect there, drinking cold
beers. I've stuffed up my availabilities at work again and I'm working. I wanted to save my Sundays off for the Tamworth game. Yeah. Any Jazz is going to be at Tamworth. I'll be there. Get pissed.
Let's get physical. Yeah. But if you like us and you want to keep watching the Joust, you can watch it on the following: Facebook, Instagram, Apple Tunes, I said Instagram twice.
TikTok.
Yeah.
YouTube. SoundCloud.
SoundCloud. All.
Get that Twitter going one day, Jousters.
Internet. Yes. You can watch it all.
The internet.
Are we purely an internet show? We are. We're not broadcasted.
The network's going to hate hearing that.
Please like us on all those things. We'll be chatting to you again this time next week, hopefully talking about a wonderful surprise win against the Dolphins, where they say, good Lord, look at this team play. David Armstrong, 7
Kalen
tries.
Who?
Kalen what?
Kalen why? Kalen when?
Hopefully, fingers crossed, that we're all there. But we will be there to watch us next week. See you, Justice. We'll catch you then.
No. Did you actually mention the Wickham Park Hotel at the end there?
The slide did the job, mate.
You didn't.
It was like Nagy was about to say it, and then Liam would say something, and then Nagy would go back again. I'm going to get it. And just,
oh, really?
I know.